praying that the technology continues to work. We've been doing okay for a while, and we're truly grateful to God that we can reach people, especially during these times. These are not normal times in history, in the world, where people all over the world are locked down like prisoners, which we explained that's a term you use when you want to control the prison population. It's called a lockdown. How apropos, right? But it's called a lockdown. So we're going through interesting times. The world, this is not an everyday occurrence. So, of course, people are discouraged. They're disconnected. And what we're trying to do is educate and encourage everyone. Every week, of course, when we deliver a sermon from God's Word. And I want to remind everyone, I'm going to do this before every single sermon I preach from now on. Anyone who is involved with our ministry, anyone watching this, to other faithful Christians studying their word, we are preserving civilization. You have to understand that, especially the older generation. If you are 30 years and older, you have to understand that the children today, people's children, their grandchildren, they're growing up in a world that has been turned upside down, where they haven't been born into a world now where you can even definitely say a man is a man and a woman is a woman. They're going to grow up in a way which you didn't, where it's going to be even more common in the next 5 to 10 years. You'll meet a man and he might really be a woman who has just had gender reassignment surgery and filled with hormones. So this is going to be a real problem. Now, this will not last. This country, the Anglo-Saxon world, Australia, Britain, everyone that's been under the crown, this is an empire that's collapsing. It's collapsing because of perversion. This is not something strange to be scared about, nervous about. We need to gather together, study the word, and have answers for people in their confusion. These poor children today, they will get older, and there will be no definition of truth. Science has now become anti-science, and the world is just filled with perversion and Satanism. But what that means for us is that after the collapse happens, just like in the West with the Greek Empire, we had the Roman Empire, and we had the Spanish Empire, the Portuguese Empire, empires get reduced to a smaller area. We know that Rome, Italy went from a worldwide empire to this little peninsula. Same thing with Greece, same thing with Spain, and it's going to happen with America. But what we're doing, we're going to preserve the teachings, the best teachings of the West that coincided with the Bible, like our fair law system, our system of marriage and families and everything that is in line with the Word of God. So don't think that, hey, this is just a Sunday, I'm hanging out, I want to hear something spiritual, right? Whatever that means. We are preserving civilization. You are learning things, and you're going to hold on to your Bible, that when this whole thing collapses, we're going to be able to witness to those around us. These poor children are going to need answers. They're going to need answers from us. And that's our job, is to learn the word and to give the faith to the next generation. Now, we're working in the book of Judges. I'm very happy we're working in the book of Judges, because this book, the book of Judges, comes right after Joshua. Remember, it's like peanut butter and jelly and a sandwich. The same way the book of Luke and Acts, the Acts of the Apostles are one book, Joshua and Judges are really one book. God promised a land to his people Israel, a very small piece of land, and it was going to be theirs. But what we're seeing is that even though God was with the people and he gave them specific commands on how to behave and how to take the land and how to organize themselves as a people, as a nation, they screwed it up, which is normal for human beings many times because of their sin. So we're seeing as we go through this book, this is a people that was given everything by the Lord, but because of a lack of faith and courage of screwing it up. And just like us as Christians today, we really need to work on getting the world system out of us and not participating in it. And those who listen, you know, Fellowship Baptist Church, you know, we're in the middle of Coney Island in New York City. It is not about hiding on a mountain somewhere. It's about your heart and your mind being separate from the world, believing in God's values and teachings, following Christ's commands, and changing the world around us. One family, one county, one city at a time. And that's how the faith spreads. From a person we give witness to them changing their family practices, and then it expands into the world. The three types of government, a family, church, and state, all should be organized according to God's word. So you have a big task. You have to truly learn your word and learn your Bible. This last 100 years of Christianity in this country, about picking out a verse and feeling good, and well, that was fine. We were spoiled for a while. We were the dominant religion in the land. People pretty much agreed. Most people lived around their own ethnic group, and we didn't have to relate to other people. Well, we are in Babylon now, for real. And there's a lot of things we need to work through. So we're going to continue in the book of Judges. Today, the topic is going to be, we're going to be in Judges. We're still in chapter 1. We'll be finishing the chapter. And the whole issue today with the book of Judges, Israel is conquering the land, but because of a lack of faith and courage, they're letting some of the people that God told to throw out of the land. He didn't say he had to kill them all. It was chasing them out. They could have gone 20 miles away outside the land and have been safe, and had they would have been safe. God wanted to expel them from the land. These are the Canaanites. They are the most wicked group of people, as wicked of a group as you can imagine in history. These were the Canaanites and their practices, sex for children, cannibalism, child sacrifice, bestiality, necrophilia, anything that you could think of that's basically on, right, on MTV today or in popular movies. It's all accepted now again. Half our nation's becoming the new Canaanites. But the point is, these were disgusting practices. God allowed these people over 400 years to repent, to change their ways. They never did. So now the time is up. God, who is the landlord of the whole world, is going to evict them from the land, which is about the size of New Jersey. Okay, God was picking one small spot for his people, and they're out. And all their perversions are out with them. But as we read the book of Judges, as we were working through the first chapter, we see that God's people, instead of listening to his commands, were influenced by the world. And they started to do things just like the people they were supposed to throw out were doing. And they were taking prisoners and mutilating kings. And these are things that God didn't ask for them to do. So as we work through the book last week, if you remember, we spoke about Joseph's sons who are not completely Hebrew ethnically. They had an Egyptian mother. It doesn't matter. Joseph's father, Jacob, adopted them into the family, made them tribes. And they're all making their way, but they're not being faithful. God wants total conquest. He doesn't want halfway commitment. And this is what we're going to read today in Judges chapter 1, verses 27 through 36. And that's why I wanted to save this to end this chapter. So the title of today's sermon is No Sympathy for the Devil. And yes, I was referencing a Rolling Stones song, which we're going to go over today. And we're going to see how the devil has a plan, But it takes silly people, wicked people, to make that plan come true. And that's what you're looking at in America. We didn't separate ourselves the way we were supposed to from these Satanists and these other groups. And we're paying for it now. And how appropriate May 1st, which is May Day, the Workers' Day, the day of communism. And communism, not all low-level communists, but communism at its root is Satanism. That's all it is. That's why one of the first tenets of communism is that there is no God. And they used to call, a famous communist said that religion was an opiate, a drug for the regular people, for the masses. That there is no God. You make your own destiny. We're all just material machines. Get what you can, enjoy yourself while you can, and then die. And that's it. So Satanism and communism, closely related. So the timing worked out. So let's read the book of Judges together, verses 27 through 36. But let us first pray for God's guidance. Almighty God, the living God, the God who is in full control. We're sorry, Lord, all of us, in our personal lives at times, not pushing out the evil the way we are supposed to, and actually inviting evil into our lives. We ask, Lord, that in our families, in our city, in our nation, that you would drive us to be more courageous, brave, and faithful, that we would take on the Satanists, the children of the devil in the land, and that we would restore order, biblical order, in our family and in our church and in the state. So we ask, Lord, that these sermons, Lord, that you would be glorified, your word would be brought forth, and we would learn the things that you would have us learn. And we ask this, Lord, humbly, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to be reading from Judges chapter 1, verses 27 through 36. Very simple. Some of you will have that little subnote in your Bible. It says, places not conquered. Well, this is what was going on. So we're told, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in the land. Now remember, this is who they were supposed to throw out. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Bad business. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalal, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor of Akzib, nor of Helba, nor of Afik, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali. These are all the tribes of Israel that did not take the land the way they were supposed to. Drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Beth Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres and Ajalon, and in Sha'albim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from going up to Akrabim, from the rock and upward. So here we have the children of Israel, who were supposed to get rid of these people, acted like people of the world. Instead of getting rid of these people, they did things that people in the world do. They took slaves. We know what a curse slavery is. Slavery is just as much a curse for those who own slaves as for the horror of being a slave yourself. It destroys your family. It destroys your children. It makes them lazy. It makes them complacent. And it will destroy you within a generation. So we see that the Israelites, some of them were actually comfortable living with these people. Others took them as slaves. So we see a major problem with God's people not following his word. Just like I do many times, and just like you do, you think you know better than God. You don't understand the consequences of what you're doing. But this was supposed to be a holy nation, not perfect, but holy, meaning separated, that would not have their enemies living amongst them. And we're not to have sympathy for the devil. We are not to tolerate perversion. We are not to tolerate people that are murderers, those that corrupt society. That's what we're being taught today, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. And God's people were having the same problem back then. So the first point we're making in our sermon today is we see that they're not expelling the people. The book of Judges, this book, continues to expose the inability of God's people to obey his commands. The lack of faith and courage leads to the Israelites allowing their enemies to live among them. God warned that failing to expel the Satanists from the land would cost Israel dearly. We see this in our own lives. If you want to put your children at risk, place them in schools where everyone is taught to be a good Satanist, where there's sex education classes, which are going on today in the schools, are about having sex not only outside of marriage, but having it with people of the same sex. Having sex with animals, dead bodies. These things are discussed in schools. How to use sex toys. This is what children are learning. So you send them to school filled with Satanists and pagans, and then you wonder why you're at war with your own children by the time they're in sixth or seventh grade. That's because you're letting the enemy teach them. Same thing in the churches. We allow, and Paul speaks about this, we're going to reference this later on, we let perverted ministers, people that don't belong in the ministry, speak to the congregation, teach the congregation, and then we wonder why the congregation is falling away. So you know in Fellowship Baptist Church, we don't do that. If someone wants to speak at the church, we screen them. We want to know what their doctrine is, what their angle is, where are they coming from. And if we make a mistake, you will never, ever be invited to speak at Fellowship Baptist Church again. And if you say something that's perverted or defames Christ during the sermon, you will be removed in the middle of the sermon, and we will have an elder come up and deliver a sermon to the people. And everyone knows this. We protect our congregation, even to pray and speak to our homeless ministry. If you are a shady guy who is supposed to be a faithful minister, you will never, ever be invited back. So that's the way we're supposed to behave. Same thing with our families. We don't expose, we educate our families on danger, but we don't expose them to danger. So what the schools have become, what the churches have become, it's like hiring a pedophile to babysit your kids when you go out with your wife somewhere. And that's basically what we're doing. We have perverts and insane people educating our children. Now, mixing is bad. Mixing between God's people and Satan's people, the people of the world, is bad. This does not mean we can't live in the world and we don't have friends and acquaintances that are crazy, or that acquaintances that aren't Christians. We have to be around these people. What we're saying is your family space should be a safe area, a safe space, your home. You don't invite them in your home. And your church should be a safe space for believers. We guard our family and we guard the church. We are not to be soft and effeminate when it comes to guarding the church and our family. So this means you might have someone who's a wacko and you visit their store and do some shopping there, you give witness to them, you drop a Bible tract, you do what you can, but you never invite them in your home. You don't allow them to come into the church and be a church member. What God's people do when they mix with people who are not believers, marrying them, having businesses with them, again, inviting them into the church, inviting them into the home, you break down that barrier and you bring God's judgment. This is what happens. The whole system went down. That is technology. But continuing with our sermon, we're explaining how the times of Noah were very different and how these men of renown had dominated the earth. So God was going to redo things and judge that generation and make sure that his people would have a way of escape. We've gone through this at different times, but we're at one of those moments where you need to get on the ark with God's people. You need to know the Bible. You need to know his word. We need to educate these people again that are trapped in wickedness. Now, these stories of the flood we have, as I said, in our history, in our culture, it's something that we, you know, we deal with, that we've dealt with. And I also gave you a reference, Sympathy for the Devil. If you think I'm just making this up, and this is the second point in our sermon, God's people intimately mixing with the children of the devil always leads to disaster. Only when people leave the world system and make covenant with God can we have a relationship with them. Now, the kingdom of Satan is fluid as Jesus Christ redeems people every day through the gospel. So we, through the gospel and God's word and Jesus' power and the Holy Spirit working in people, just like some of us, we're pulled out of Satan's kingdom. We're conquering the world for Christ. So if you're trapped in wickedness now, it doesn't mean it'll always be that way. But we need to do battle. We need to be aggressive. And like I was explaining, our whole culture is turning this present generation into one that we won't recognize. They're growing up with values that we never had. The fall is complete now. I mean, we can't even identify, like I said, what a male or a female is. They're banning putting mother and father on birth certificates. So we are the ones that need to preserve civilization after this judgment is over. So pay attention to these things I'm explaining. Now, where we get the title of today's sermon, No Sympathy for the Devil, the Rolling Stones came out with a song in the 60s, the late 60s, I believe, yeah, 1968. And it was a great anthology of basically the devil working throughout history. So some people might have been drinking too much or dropping mushrooms or smoking too much marijuana as they partied to this music when it came out. You were actually listening to an anthology of the devil working with evil people throughout history and some of the horrible things that we've gone through in the West. So I gave a link to the lyrics and the song, and it's pretty amazing what we go through when we follow along with Satanism, you know, communism, this type of overturning of the world order. When men, like in the French Revolution, declare that there is no God, or in the Russian Revolution, and the revolution we're going through now in America against God and the family and our founding principles, we see that it's really quite remarkable. But remember, rock and roll, which ruined white youth, there were people that were basically, you know, going to church, and we went from things like, you know, some basic swing music to this trash, and people stopped cutting their hairs and taking showers and going to church and sitting with their family and started smoking pot and growing their hair long and, you know, doing some other things. And the Beatles, as well as the Rolling Stones, progressed from this. That's why it was called the British Invasion. it was a big psyops. They looked, you know, innocent enough when they first came to the nation. But just like with the Beatles, they went from singing about I Want to Hold Your Hand to the Yellow Submarine, you know, dealing pot and smoking big joints. And Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds, which is code word for LSD, they turned into this occult drug-taking movement. And it really affected America. And we see a lot of the population now going through this with the hip-hop culture, where the drug dealer and the gangster and the sex pervert is glorified. But the Rolling Stones were before, you know, Jay-Z or, you know, Kanye West, any of these freaks, N.W.A., so let's look at the words to this song, quite remarkable, probably the greatest rock and roll song ever written because it was so truthful about rock and roll coming from, you know, Satan himself. And they give an ode, they give a dedication to their God. So the song is called Sympathy of the Devil, Sympathy for the Devil. And we're told, please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year, stole many a man's soul and faith. Now, if you think these people aren't self-consciously Satanists, listen to the next verse. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain, made damn sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Now here we have glorifying the Russian Revolution. I stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. If you remember, what was done to Tsar Nicholas and his family was disgusting. There's reports not only did they murder him and his children, but they were raping the dead bodies of his daughters. Real nice people, communists are, historically. Then we have, I rode a tank, held the general's rank. When the Blitzkrieg raged and the body stank, no matter what your exact view of the Holocaust is, I think we can all agree as people, it was a horrific time in the history of the world, World War II in general, and what happened to people during the Holocaust. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. Oh, yeah, but what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. And that's why we read the Bible, so the devil can't continually hustle us inside this world system. I watched with glee while your kings and queens fought for 10 decades for the gods they made. It's the Hundred Years' War. Remember, our children don't even learn history anymore, so most of what I'm saying won't make sense, but you could research it for yourself. I shouted out, who killed the Kennedys? When after all, it was you and me. Let me please introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. And you can read more of this on your own. I gave the link. But for today, if you're wondering what the goal of communists and our French Freemason friends, our egalitarian friends are up to, just listen to this verse, especially what we're going through in the country with policing. This was 1968. Just as every cop is a criminal and all the sinners saints, as heads is tails, just call me Lucifer because I'm in need of some restraint. So this is what communism, this is what Satanism, all of these revolutionary movements, it's about overturning a world order that is not perfect. When communists complain about the crony capitalism we have in this country, I fully agree with their complaints. The solution is wrong. They're going to bring in something that's even worse. Because when hardcore communism comes and Satanism, you don't eat anymore. Just ask people who have lived in former communist lands. So these people, these ideas should not be allowed in the church. And this is how we apply the book of Judges to our situation today. God's people take no prisoners. We give you a chance to change and repent, but there is no room for these teachings in the church or in our families. We don't do that. And as our whole world is turned upside down, and you can listen to a sermon I did called Jesus or Baphomet. Everything is confused, male and female. People who love God don't want babies killed, don't want old people killed. We're the criminals now. We get deplatformed. We get censored. People that are for killing children, selling body parts, for killing the old, they're wonderful people. They get promotions at work, and they are elected to powerful positions in the government. So what the Rolling Stones were talking about, and it was a British invasion, it was a psychedelic invasion, what they were talking about in the 60s has obviously come true as our nation is burned down. And again, we are the ones holding on to civilization. We are the ones that need to teach people how to live again, how to run the three forms of government: family government, church government, and of course, the state government, which we're familiar with at all levels. So it's very important that you learn these things. It's not just going to church. Your children and grandchildren have a world that will leave them in complete confusion. So that's the second point that we wanted to make. So no sympathy for the devil. We have no sympathy for him or for those that follow him. They need to convert and come to Christ and leave the kingdom of Satan, or they need to be thrown out of our families, our churches, and made to be separate from us in our nation. So remember that. So the world system, again, it's something that grabs your mind, your spirit. You can be in the world, but not of the world, as the Bible speaks about, as Jesus spoke about, as Paul repeated. I am in the world. I need to work a job. I need to make a living. But I'm not going to participate in the evil of the peoples around me. And when I need to stand up for Christ and for his commandments and for godly laws and commands, I'll do it. And my family home is a safe space. No one is welcome. And the same thing with the church. We protect what's ours. And the last point in the sermon, and I hope we didn't lose too much of it due to the technology, I apologize. The Church of Jesus Christ must strive to remain faithful to our King. The church must never allow the Canaanites a foothold in the congregation. Paul expressly warns the faithful about having fellowship with the children of darkness. The church must transform from effeminate to militant in our day. Now, I want to explain something. When we talk about things being feminized, we're not speaking against women or against the nature of women. We need femininity. We need the feminine side of things, just from women, not from men. So effeminate doesn't mean womanly qualities. It means a man having womanly qualities. So when it comes to defense, the men are in charge. That's what we've been built for. When it comes to defending my home, my wife listens to me. She will listen to me when it comes to final decisions made in defending the home. That's part of the masculine spirit. We're not to be effeminate and become, womanly men. And at the same time, one of the joys for men that we've destroyed is to have a feminine spirit around us. When it comes to the home and the direction we need to go with the children, their emotional needs, or how we're going to set up our house, my wife tells me what we need. I don't tell her. Her feminine qualities, her beauty as a woman, and having the heart of a woman as a mother informs me. I don't tell my wife how we should set up the house, what colors the room should be, and what plates we should buy, or what the children need for their schooling. You know, that's her domain. So I shut up and listen. But when it comes to defense, you're supposed to exercise your manly instincts. And that's why the Bible says if you have a pastor or minister who can't protect his own home and run it well, he can't be the pastor or the minister of a church. So the same way I run my home is the same way elders, faithful men in the church, run the church. You wouldn't let men walk into your home. And my most prized possessions are my daughters and my wife. Yes, they are my possessions given to me from God to protect. Now, many of you are offended by that language, even the men. Well, what do you mean, a possession? You're right. In today's world, we're not taught that the wife, daughters, women are a prized possession. We're taught that they are pieces of meat, that they are sex objects, and that's it. And we've taught a whole generation this, and that's why they don't even marry anymore. And they don't protect their women. But we protect our women in the home as a special blessing, a prized possession, and we protect the women in the church. So the same way you're not going to walk into my home and assault one of my daughters, even if I know you for 20 years, you will quickly be assaulted yourself and rolled out the door, until the police come and clean up what's left of you. Same thing in the church. We protect our people in the church. We protect our women in the church. There are no sex offenders in our church, pedophiles, men that hate women, men that come to pick up girls in the church. Those characters are gone the first week. You're out. And if we have to beat you and throw you out as faithful Christian men, we'll do it because that's what God wants from us. So we need that attitude back in the church. Stop being so effeminate. So one county at a time in America, we must retake the land for King Jesus. You look at what people did on May 1st. You look at how many communist marches we've had around the country. You look at as they plan to have their own communist revolution here, the same way they did in France, the same way they did in Russia and around the world. And you tell me that we don't need a masculine militant church now. We sure do. So we'll end our sermon with 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God's word says it better than I can. So let's listen to what Paul tells the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll give you a chance to turn there. And this sums up what we can learn from the book of Judges and how we need separation from evil. So Paul tells them, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So what the prophets were speaking about, this was coming true in the New Testament, and it's true in our day. We're now in the family of God. We're in the new covenant of Jesus Christ. We have to behave accordingly and conquer this world for our King Jesus. Now, this is to those who believe and especially to the ministers, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, and much patience in afflictions and necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, that's why we study our word, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So Paul is saying, as a messenger of Christ, as a minister of God, whatever the situation, you soldier on, you take the beatings, you take the persecution, you keep fighting, you never give up. You have a warrior spirit for Christ. No matter what, you're going to keep pushing forward. And he's speaking to the Corinthian church, which was being corrupted by faithless ministers. He says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And the bowels, in biblical terms, means the emotional center, that deep center of a person. Being ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and this is what the Hebrew people did wrong in the book of Judges. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord, which is an agreement, a concord, hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? No sympathy for the devil. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. May God bless the reading of his word. So stay focused. God needs us. Your children need you. Your grandchildren need you. You need to be a voice of faith and reason. If you didn't study your Bible, study it now. If you've been to a lot of mamby-pamby, you know, wish-washy Bible studies, go on Sermon Audio, Fellowship Baptist Church. You know all our recordings are on there. Go back. Re-listen to things. Re-listen to the sermon series. We address communism. We address finances, international politics, politics of the church. We have a true, reformed, mature ministry where you can learn these things. You have to learn the essentials of the faith now, because people are going to need us. No one is wasting time by studying their Bible. Our house is continuing to burn down in America, and when it comes time to rebuild, they're going to need us. So God bless you. God be with everyone today. I apologize for, again, some of the technical difficulties we've had, but I love you, Fellowship Baptist Church, and may God bless us until we meet again this Wednesday for prayer and Bible study this Wednesday night.